And we're in a series called Waymaker, and I know that we haven't really been specific with this series. This series was unplanned because, again, we pivoted after my accident so that our guest ministers for those first few Sundays could just easily fill in and follow the leading of the Lord. This is not the series that I was beginning in August. I'm just going to tell you, the devil did not want that series to go forth. I know that. I'm not saying he pushed me off that ledge, but I also know he was happy when I went off that ledge. But devil, that series will be preached. just give me a minute. But I need the Waymaker. I need the Waymaker. There's multiple areas of my life where I need the help and the attention of the Lord. Is it all right to admit that? Is it all right to be that honest in church to just say, man, I've got this area over here and I've got that situation over there where I need the Lord. I need Him. And sometimes that can make you feel some kind of way because you'll feel strong over here in this area of your life and feel like, man, I'm hitting on all cylinders over on this area, but this over here is just, man, it's idling rough and it's just not driving good, and we feel so conflicted and we feel such struggle. But I'm going to tell you what I've learned in a lot of years of serving the Lord, and that is admitting you need Him is about 95% of the miracle. Just being honest and admitting I need Him is the biggest part of the miracle. Don't be ashamed to need the Lord. He created us to need Him. And sometimes, believe it or not, sometimes we get stubborn and He has to turn up the heat. Sometimes we get stubborn and all of a sudden we start feeling challenged. I'm not saying every challenge in your life is the Lord, because we know there's spiritual warfare and the devil is busy as well. But sometimes God is trying to get our attention and get us where we need to be. So I need help. I need help. And the question is always, how do I get help? And we're going to answer that today. We're going to do our best to provide some strength in your life as well, because I have a feeling that everything God put on my heart was not just for me, but there are people in this room feeling just what I'm feeling. David said in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble, because He is a God who wants to help. He wants to make a way for us. But you know what? As much as God wants to make a way for us, He also wants us to help ourselves. He wants us to help ourselves. No, He's not asking us to do what only He can do. His job is His job. But He wants us to do what we can do. You know why? Because we're not helpless. We're not pitiful. We're not without ability. It's kind of like my mama used to ask when I was a kid, boy, are your feet broke? Ask me now. I'm not your maid. Come in here and clean up these dishes. Come in here and pick up this trash, because they were trying to teach us there are some things you can do for yourself. There are things that you can do to help yourself. And spiritually, that principle is there as well. I want to read Mark chapter 1, the first three verses of Mark, and we're going to kind of hang our hat here today and just teach and see the principle and how it is still at work in our lives. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse number one, the beginning, the introduction, or as I like to describe it and hear it described, the law of first mention, meaning the way it was established the first time is the way it's going to work the second time, the third time, the thousandth time. Jesus is establishing a principle. The word is establishing a principle for our lives. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Verse 2, as it is written in Isaiah. So Mark is quoting, the gospel writer is quoting from the book of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you. John the Baptist is the messenger. And here's what he's going to do. He will prepare your way. I am sending John to prepare your way. I'm sending him to get you ready. Get me ready for what? Because something is coming. Get me ready for what? Something is happening. Get you ready because big things are on the way. A voice, still speaking about John, John is a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Prepare the way. I'm teaching today. Prepare the way. John was the God-sent forerunner of Jesus. Literally sent to prepare the way of Jesus' arrival. He was born about 6 months before Jesus' birth. And of course, Jesus was raised by Mary and Joseph and did not begin his public ministry until he was 30 years of age. John is his cousin, and John, 6 months older, is this wild man. The Bible describes, you know, a little disheveled look, just everything about him, a little bit, what is the word I'm looking for? Unique and eccentric is the word I'm looking for, at least in the descriptions of John. But John is preaching and John is declaring. He came with a message of repentance. His message was clean up, get right, get ready. Something is coming and you want to be prepared. You want to be ready. So you need to repent. Why is that message so important? I'll tell you why. Because repentance always precedes revival. Repentance always precedes revival. No, ladies and gentlemen, repentance is not a one-time event in our lives. You say, Pastor Darrell, I repented when I received salvation. Well, have you sinned since you received salvation? Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, I die daily. Die? Yes, he dies to his flesh. He dies to his will. He dies to his desire daily. Every day? Every day? Do I need to be repenting every day? I believe you need to be living in an attitude and a mindset of repentance that says, Lord, I want to please you. I want to bless you. I don't want there to be any thought in me. I don't want there to be any motive in me. And so I just live my life wanting to please the Lord, come up short, fail, trip, stumble, say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, but always living a life because the Bible said that his mercies are new every single morning. He's eager to restore us. He's eager to renew us, eager to revive us and to bless our lives. Repentance always precedes revival. And this was the message of John. This is what John the Baptist was preaching every single day. And his message was so life-changing that they wondered if he was the Messiah. Are you the one we're looking for? Or are you the Messiah? This message has been such a blessing to my life. It has turned my family around. It has healed so many things in my life. Are you the Messiah that we have been looking for? And John the Baptist answers Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. He said, no, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I. Whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And even me coming just as I am requires me to repent and make a turn in my life. You see, when we hear come as you are, our flesh hears keep doing all you're doing and God will accept you. Keep living the way you've been living, and God will take you just like that. We hear what we want to hear. Our flesh hears what it wants to hear. But let me give you some more truth today. God loves you enough to accept you like you are right now. But you know what? He loves you too much to leave you as you are right now. He loves us enough to accept us as we are right now, whatever that may be. Do I need to define that? Do I need to describe that? It may be me addicted. It may be me struggling. It may be me in debt. It may be me in the middle of a divorce. It may be me in the middle of crisis and pain and difficulty in my life. And the Lord is just wrapping me up in his presence saying, I'm going to accept you like you are right now, but you better believe that I am going to start working in your life and moving in your life and healing your life and restoring your life and forgiving you and setting you free and restoring and making a difference, because I love you too much to leave you as you are right now. And ladies and gentlemen, let's be real. We didn't come to him because we wanted to stay the same. Lord, I feel like preaching in this wheelchair. We didn't come to him because we were happy with where we were. We wanted change. We needed change in our lives. We were not happy in our mess, happy in our addiction. We were not satisfied in our guilt or in our shame. We wanted help. We just didn't know how to get the help that we need. Just didn't know how to happen. So we got to get prepared, because for him to make a way in my life, I have to make way for him in my life. I'm living a different life the last 5 weeks. It's weird. I've got a walker that's in my office right now. I do a hybrid of walker and wheelchair. That walker is tough on a big man. And I try to reserve as much energy as I can. So I'm in a wheelchair on Sunday, and I do this around my house some as well, but you know, family, they keep living the same way. I need a path, not an obstacle course. So family thinks nothing about leaving shoes in the middle of the floor. You ought to see the obstacle course I have to get from the chair I'm in and these two big ottoman poof, look, I think they call them poofs, big giant pillow things that are stacked up to get my leg elevated. And Kristen says it's never elevated high enough, so she's got my leg up above my ear, and I'm trying to get comfortable, and you know, it's just a crazy thing. But the season I'm in, I can't do shoes in the middle of the floor. You know, sometimes you finish a towel, you just drop it in the floor in the bathroom. I don't know if y'all do that in your house, but it's an obstacle when I'm on my walker. And the other day I started getting tripped up in the rug and the towel and the transfer bench that gets me into the shower and just all of that stuff. And it was the first little stumble I've had since my stumble on walker. And I was like, all right, reaching for counters and all of that, just trying to steady myself. And then I was calling, hey, can we clean some of this up? Can we straighten, this rug got turned. And now, you know, the walker leg is getting caught on that, because I need a path, not an obstacle course. And it's true in your life as well. You need a path, not an obstacle course. And you may not be on a walker and you may not be in a wheelchair, but let me set this scene up for your life. Maybe company is coming over. Maybe friends are on the way. Maybe family are coming at 6 o'clock this evening for fellowship. Or maybe it's people that you love who are stopping by. Well, let me just ask you. You're going to leave all that in the floor? You're going to leave the sink with dishes overflowing? Or are you going to prepare for their arrival? Sure, you could leave the mess, you could leave the clutter, you could leave the dirty clothes strewn across the floor, but your guests probably will not accept your invitation to return because they don't feel comfortable. You say, but wait a minute, won't Jesus just take me like I am? And yes, Jesus will come into your mess, he will, he does. He was born in a smelly manger. Your stink will not stop him. But still, he's going to call you to clean up just like your mama did. He's going to call you to straighten things up in your life. And we can't be offended by that. We can't be offended by that. And I know there's two different people that's hearing this message today. I'm talking to people who are learning about Jesus. Maybe you're being introduced to him for the first time today. Maybe you're new in your faith, or you just feel this drawing to get closer, and you want to be in church every Sunday, and you want to be in small group, and all of this is new and it's powerful, and you just feel the call of the Lord to come closer to him. And yet there's another person in this room that's been serving the Lord for a long, long time, but he's stirring you up, and he's speaking to you, and he's inviting you to next levels, and he's inviting you to new dimensions. And guess what? Whether this is your first time to hear the gospel or whether Jesus is calling you to a new level of commitment in him, the process is the same. Why? Because repentance always precedes revival. So go all the way back to the text, Mark chapter 1. He said, I'm going to send my messenger ahead of you. I may send a preacher to stir your heart. I may send a message in August that shakes you or messes with your thinking. I'm going to send a messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Here's what they're saying. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Don't tune that out, because God wants to be your way maker. God wants to answer you. He wants to bless your life. He wants to move and work and answer big things in your world. Here's what we have to do. Here's what he's asking me to do. Here's what he's asking you to do. He's saying, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. What are straight paths? Make it easy for him to get to you. Make it easy for me to get from my chair to the bathroom. Make it easy. Make it a clutter-free pathway. Make it easy for God and for others to get to you. It's one thing for God to navigate all of that, but it's another thing for someone else that's trying to get to your heart or get to your mind or just get to you so they can put an arm around you in this season of your life. All right, I'll consider God. I'm not sure about others. I'm encouraging you. Open up in a small group. Let a friend in. You would be shocked how much a relationship would bless your life. Pastor Darrell, do you know how much relationships have hurt me? I understand. But as long as you're here, it's not going to be good for you to be alone. It's miserable to be alone. Let somebody in. What if I get hurt? What if you get helped? What if I get disappointed? What if you get delivered? What if I make another enemy? What if you make another friend? I can do this all day. I can argue with your mind. That's telling you all these negative things are going to happen. Make a straight path. What kind of paths are we making? What kind of paths are we making? The first path is a path straight to prayer. He said, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Make a path straight to prayer. Don't allow your path to prayer to get cluttered. You know what? Opinions create clutter. Negative voices create clutter. This needs to be a clear path, because prayer needs to be my first response, not my last response. I've got to keep this path clear, because I don't know what's coming. I don't know what news is coming next week. I don't know what challenges are coming. I don't know what the doctor is going to say on Wednesday. But if I am in prayer, if I'm just living a life of prayer, if I'm making sure that this pathway is clutter-free, that when trouble comes, when calamity comes, when news comes, when those things happen, man, I know exactly how to get to where he is, because I've made sure this is a clutter-free zone. I am living in prayer. I'm going straight to my prayer closet. Pastor Darrell, what does that look like? I'm just not this get on the knees and just bow perfectly and spin. No, live that life of prayer. If you have that discipline, beautiful, awesome. Don't stop, but get somewhere where you can just talk to God. Turn the radio off. Turn the news off and just ride the road and say, Lord, I'm praying. I'm praying. I'm praying that red car gets off my tail. I'm praying. I'm praying. I'm praying that I'm praying for my family. I'm praying for my, pray. Have a path straight to prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 21:13, my house will be called a house of prayer. It's not just my house, but it's your house that ought to be a house of prayer. I'm on this mission to make his house and our house a lot more similar. To make the church house and the house I live in. I know they're different. I know there's something special about the house of the Lord, and I pray it's always special, and we get excited. Man, I'm used to being here every single day. I'm only coming on Sundays right now and working from home during the week and mitigating, you know, some of those challenges. But coming around the corner today, I said, oh, man, it's weird not seeing the church every single day. Some of you pass it every day because you live out maybe back here in Oxford. Others just drive. You just drive through, and I love that. Some drive through just checking on things, and I'll see you, and it's just a random Tuesday afternoon. And hey, how you doing? I'm just driving by. Don't ever stop driving by. Because I know what that is. It's that connection to the house of God. I feel peace. I feel strength. I just love the house of the Lord. So I'm close to it, and I'm near it, and I'm connected to it. Maybe when y'all drive by, you can text me a picture so I can feel like I'm here every day as well. But he said, my house is going to be called a house of prayer. Don't make it a den of robbers. Don't make it something it's not supposed to be. Don't turn it into anything other than what it ought to be, and that is a place where people can find him. I love James 5 and 16 as well. He said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer. Maybe that's where I'm missing it. I don't feel like I'm very effective. You're more effective than you think you are. That's just the enemy lying to you, saying, you prayed all that, but God didn't hear you. No. He has no power to stop your prayer. I don't care what mess you're in. If you say the name Jesus, he's at attention. What? Come on, where you at? Let me help you. Let me work for you. Pray. You say, Pastor, I'm addicted to something right now. Praying is doing me no good. Pray. I'm in a mess right now. Pray. Don't ever stop praying. Don't ever stop worshiping, regardless of what is happening, because eventually God is always going to win. He's always going to win. He's always going to make the difference in your life. How many took the challenge to read Psalm 20 every day this last week? Oh, Lord, I'm a terrible leader. Oh, I see a hand. I see a few hands. Praise God. I see a few hands. Thank you. Now, let me give you another challenge this week. Pray every single day. Yo, we got a small group on prayer. PK and Jamie Payne leading a small group on Wednesdays. I think it's right here in the auditorium. You can come and you can pray, and you say, I don't even know how to pray. Come, they'll help you. They'll teach you. They'll help you walk through it and give you some guided prayers. Pray every single day, and you'll show up next Sunday and say, "Woo! I can't wait till he asks if I prayed every day, because I feel the difference in my life. I feel the absolute difference in my life because I spent time in prayer every single day." Because, you know, sometimes life gets so hectic and busy and you'll realize, wait a minute, it's been 2 or 3 days. I've not prayed. I mean, I said Jesus that one time, but I've not prayed. Man, pray. Have a path straight to prayer. Here's another path as I'm closing today. Here's another path. You need a path straight to worship. You need a path straight to prayer. You need a path straight to worship. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. Doubt will create obstacles on this path. Doubt will create obstacles on this path. The enemy knows how powerful your praise is. He knows how powerful. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but there's probably couples that had a fight on the way to church today. There's probably families that were in complete chaos trying to get kids ready. And you probably thought, you know what, I'm not even going to go today. It's not even worth it. And then you got here. And they started singing, "Show me your glory." And all of a sudden, a weight lifted off of you. And the enemy said, "I lost again. I tried to talk them out of it. I tried to create chaos in the family. That would make them just want to just go sit down on the couch and watch online. I messed with the internet. I did all that stuff. But they came onto the house of God anyway. And look, God always wins." You got to have a path straight to worship. Pastor, it's a long time between Sundays. You better learn how to worship. Without this team, you better learn how to worship. Without this band, learn how to worship everywhere you are. I've got playlists on my phone that can take me into the presence of God. Our team is learning a song right now. I don't know when they're singing it. I just saw it the other day listed, and they're rehearsing it. And I'd never heard the song before, and I clicked on it because, you know, in the rehearsal and how they learn music, it's all connected in there. And it took me to the YouTube, and there was nobody home. And I'm telling you, that song probably repeated 15 times. And I just sat there crying and worshiping and loving the Lord and thanking Him and blessing Him and worshiping. And now it's one of my favorite songs. I can't wait for you to hear it. It's powerful. I can't wait for our team to lead us in it. You got to have a path straight to worship. Psalm 103:1, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Hebrews 13 and 15, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. So we have a path straight to prayer, a path straight to worship. Here's the third and next path, and where we'll end today. You need a path straight to purity. Straight to purity. What we watch, what we hear, sometimes the company we keep. You know why? Because sin will trash my path. Sometimes you'll need to get to the Lord and you're having to step over your own garbage. And you know what they say, garbage in, garbage out. If I've constantly got filth around me, if I constantly have my mind cluttered with filth, man, it's hard to get into the presence of God. Because whatever allotted time I have, if it's a break at work, if it's a few minutes before the kids come rushing through the door, whatever it is, I spend all of my time feeling like I need to repent and get out from under this shame. And God, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry I looked at that or thought that. But if I've got this path without clutter, Paul said, just lay aside the sin and the weight that clutters your path. Get a straight path to purity. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, Mark 12 and 30, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Just love him. Am I going to be perfect? No. Am I always going to have it together? No, I'm not. But if I've got some paths in my life, straight to prayer, straight to worship, straight path to purity. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Make it easy for God to get to you, and he will make life easier for you. You really believe that, Pastor Darrell? With every ounce of my being. I've said it this way for years. If you'll make his business your business, he'll make your business his business. If you'll make paths for him to get to you, cleaning up this cutter, I'm cleaning up this trash. I'm sorry. I'm deleting that out of my watch history. I'm not going to be tempted with that. I'm getting that off of my computer. I've got to make a straight path. I've got to make a straight path so that God can bless. Because you're all I want. You're all I see. Show me your glory. Sing it.
You're all I want. You're all I see. Show me your glory.
Say.
One thing I ask. One thing I seek. show me your glory.
You may be in this room today saying, you know what, I'm ready for next step. I don't know exactly what your next step is. It may be saying yes to Jesus. It may be crying out in repentance before God. And today is not a day to say, well, I'm going to let the sinner repent. I'm going to let that guy, he looks like he needs to repent. Or that lady, she looks like she needs to repent. I need to repent. Because God may be trying to prepare me for my next level. My next level of glory. From faith to faith. And from glory to glory. Some of you have been living at the same level of faith a long time. Same level of glory a long time. You're so familiar with it, you can walk around it with your eyes closed. You know right where everything is. And God is saying, I've got a new level for you. Another faith, another glory. I've got a new dimension for you. So I dare you to repent. I dare you to just get clean and pure before me so that I can pour something fresh into your life. Something fresh. Let's pray it together. Say, Jesus, I repent. I repent for my sin. I repent for the weights I've gathered up, the clutter, the trash, the junk. Today, I set a straight path for you. A straight path to prayer. A straight path to worship. A straight path to purity. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for renewing me. Thank you for restoring me. Today I'm ready. I'm ready for what you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be baptizing in just a moment. If you're in this room today and